This is Logan Sekulow. Republicans call for Buttigieg to resign after bridge disaster in Maryland.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
That's right. This is Logan Sekulow in the studio with executive producer Will Haynes. Let's make sure we open up those phone lines and start calls 1-800-684-3110. There we go. 1-800-684-3110, because I want to hear from you, because there's been a massive call. And look, this isn't a brand new call. Marco Rubio was doing this just a couple weeks ago. After that tragedy, that horrible bridge collapse, and we've all seen the footage that looks like, you know, it almost just gets poked and just collapses in a half a second. This entire landmark bridge comes down, collapses, obviously multiple casualties, horrible tragedy. But it does make you wonder, what's going on in our Department of Transportation? What's going on with Pete Buttigieg? And what's going on with the Biden administration in terms of where they're spending your money? And if it's supposed to be on infrastructure, Will, if we're supposed to have these big infrastructure bills that we know we're actually, you know, they would say it's infrastructure bill, but really it's an environmental bill.
Right.
This is the kind of thing that's happening. And it's not just this. We obviously have seen the problems in the airline industry. Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire, he posted train derailments, supply chain crisis, planes falling from the sky, ships crashing into bridges. I don't know what the cause of this latest catastrophe is, but the overall picture is quite bleak. And I think that's how we should all feel about this, which is not saying there's anything nefarious that happened in that tragedy, but that maybe that the cause and the root of that is that we are spending our money on the wrong places.
Well, and this is the reality of an election year. You start to analyze the decisions and the accomplishments or failures of an administration when they're on the ticket to run for re-election. And here's what we've got here. One of the marquee pieces of legislation that the Biden administration points to as one of their biggest victories in his tenure as president are the Build Back Better Act and the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. So they were two pieces of legislation that went in tandem. But when you add the total of the spending from those two pieces of legislation, it's $2.2 trillion. $2.2 trillion that are supposed to be going to building back better the infrastructure of the United States, as well as the Infrastructure Investment Act.
Yeah.
And what have we seen out of this? We've seen the litany of disasters, whether it's East Palestine, Ohio, train derailment.
People aren't commenting that. A lot of comments right now on the YouTube channel going, don't forget about East Palestine. Of course, the East Palestine situation.
And now you see the bridges, the airlines. You can't forget when Southwest and one other airline had that massive outage and the FAA had to ground the entire fleet of aircraft from companies. We're not seeing a building back better. And it leads the question, what is Pete Buttigieg doing and where is $2.2 trillion going except for Green New Deal light policies?
Yeah, and his response was, you know, this is a cathedral to, what was it?
Yeah, we'll play that in the next segment.
This was a cathedral to
American infrastructure.
Well, guess who's responsible for that American infrastructure that failed? Sorry, even if it was the fact you can't control that a tanker lost power, let's just say all that's accurate. A tanker loses power, plows itself into there. That probably should not be enough to take down this cathedral to whatever, American exceptionalism. Phone lines are open. I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. This also comes off of RFK Jr. announcing his vice presidential candidate. And whether you like him or not, I'm sure there's a lot of people and hopefully a lot of Democrats looking at what's going on right now in their own party, looking at bridge collapses, looking at it happening to East Palestine and going, you know what? Maybe that environmentalist guy is not so bad. So that should be pretty interesting to see if this will impact his ticket and how that can impact then the potential re-election of Joe Biden or the re-election of President Donald Trump. I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on that too. Not necessarily about whether you prefer, you like his running mate or not, but do you think that this is a wake-up call to a lot of people who may not get on that Trump train, but certainly are looking for other places to go? 1-800-684-3110. And maybe you are one of those people, by the way. You're listening right now. I'd love to hear from you. Support the work of the ACLJ right now. We are in critical legal battles. We are dealing with amazing media scrutiny for those who are on the right. You can be a part of that as well. Go to ACLJ.org. Make your donation. Last few days in our Life and Liberty Drive.
Hi, this is Jay Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. This month, we're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack from within, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, and help us fight to literally save lives. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
Welcome. We're going to take some of these calls coming up here in just a second. Look, I always think it's fair to hear from the person that you're talking about. We'll hear from Pete Buttigieg and hear his clips here as we were talking about not just the disaster that was that bridge collapse, but all of the other items in the transportation and infrastructure system that have failed over the last, conveniently, handful of years. So we'll talk about those coming up. I am going to ask, if you're on YouTube right now, you know what? I'll be honest. YouTube's been pretty good. We've had some really good success over there recently. But this is not necessarily the news. A lot of times it can break into people's feeds without your support. So right now I'm going to ask you, if you're on YouTube and you haven't subscribed, to please subscribe. I ask you to hit that thumbs up. Go back to me, actually. Go back to me. I want to direct. Hit that thumbs up. You'll see that. And put in a comment. Tell us what you're thinking, how you're feeling right now. And that helps get that into more people's feeds, more people's, into their algorithm. Because this kind of news, I know it is very specific. It is very nuanced. But it is what impacts everyone on a day-to-day basis. Our basic infrastructure. And if we're talking about government spending, this is really one of the few places I believe all of us can get behind. Yeah, our bridges should be safe. Yeah, our trains should be safe. Our airplanes certainly should be safe. Good Lord, I'm not a great flyer to begin with, okay? So when you have this news happening, not the most fun for those of us that are nervous flyers. And that's where we're at.
Well, as well, another action item you can take is there is a poll up there right now on YouTube that says, should Pete Buttigieg resign, yes or no, or just see the results. But engaging in that also helps get this show out into more people's feeds. So that's another thing you can do if you're looking
just
to engage.
Interact.
But we should play this bite because this...
Be fair.
This is from Mayor Pete, as he was lovingly called when he was running for president, but now Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. This is when he was addressing the disaster that happened with this bridge in Maryland. Let's play Bite 24.
How concerned should Americans be about the bridges that they're traversing every single day in this country?
Well, this is a unique circumstance. I do not know of a bridge that has been constructed to withstand a direct impact from a vessel of this size. What I will say is anytime anything happens to any bridge, we as a country take that and learn from that. This is no ordinary bridge. This is one of the cathedrals of American infrastructure. It has been part of the skyline of this region for longer than many of us have been alive. So the path to normalcy will not be easy. It will not be quick. It will not be inexpensive. But we will rebuild together.
You're paying for it. It's your fault. It is what it is. And, of course, the over emotion of this. At the end of the day, sure, is it a big deal? People are probably sad. There are people who are from Baltimore and they're dealing with the sadness of losing part of their skyline and their history. Sure. Are we having issues here where he says, you know what? This has been part of the skyline for longer than most of us have been alive. Maybe that's a problem.
Right.
Maybe that's something we need to be addressing here as you go across, I don't know, the Golden Gate Bridge thousands of times a day. You go to the Brooklyn Bridge. These have all been there for a very long time.
Right.
Not just before we were born, before our parents were born, most likely. Those bridges and those things were there. You don't see that happening. Look, tragedies happen. I don't want to say that this is an intentional thing or that they knew somehow that if a tanker tapped this bridge, it would fall down. But it should be a wake-up call.
Here's my concern with several of the things that he said in this statement. One, this is a unique circumstance. I do take a little bit of issue with that because as if you saw the break video, if you're watching on YouTube, and or if you've heard the litany of things we went through earlier, whether it be train derailments or bridges collapsing. We have seen bridges collapse. There was one out of Philadelphia where a part of the interstate system, much newer than many of these bridges, collapsed just due to a fire. And then we saw, obviously, it's been more than 15 years now. The Minnesota, we saw a bridge collapse there. Why weren't there wake-up calls? That was under the Obama administration. Why weren't there wake-up calls then to say, we need to be analyzing every bridge in this country and see if, huh, maybe these things aren't withstanding that. Also, hit to his statement that he doesn't know of a bridge that could withstand an impact like this. Of a tanker of this size. Well, we have tankers of this size. They pass through these bridges every single day. If you've passed a $2 trillion infrastructure bill, maybe start there. Maybe start there and think, if we've got ships this big that go under every day, if something happens, can we minimize the damage instead of not just a section of the bridge falling down? It looked like dominoes collapsing.
In a half a second, it comes down. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you're right. I don't think the American people really, and I've had to be woken up to this, some of our friends that are in this industry, how much is still being shipped and moved via rivers, via lakes, be it not lakes, via rivers, via channels.
Well, Great Lakes.
Great Lakes, yeah.
Great Lakes, yes.
But rivers and our country and how this is all connected, obviously, ocean liners and that kind of thing as well. This is still a big mode of transportation for a lot of things and of delivery. You're not thinking about it because you shouldn't have to think about it, truthfully.
And people
the money should be going to make sure we're safe on this. And the last thing American people should be concerned of is this bridge I'm crossing safe. We're dealing with enough here. And the deal we have sort of with the federal government here should be we pay you X amount of dollars. Those dollars feel ridiculous, but they mainly feel ridiculous when things like this happen. When you go, this is the basic need. The stuff that isn't the basic need, if you're building, you know, termite training facilities in lower Alabama, that's maybe the stuff where we go, okay, that's a problem. That's not really where we should be focused on. Maybe, I don't know, your cathedral to the Midwest or whatever he called it.
The cathedral of American infrastructure.
No one's checking that cathedral, okay? Well, this is, you know, this is like, you know, it's fine. It's a cathedral. It's been there forever. We talk about...
Like Notre Dame, you know, like nothing happened there. Right, yeah. Cathedrals, they're generally okay.
Yeah, we think about, Will and I were just talking about like even things like the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. You're talking about modern marvels that are now at this point... Very old.
Yeah.
And by the way, a disaster happens on that. I can't even imagine. You're under the ocean.
Thousands of casualties.
Yes. And you shouldn't have to think about that.
Right.
Obviously, a lot of times when you are doing that, you are thinking about it. Like, wow, this
is the only thing you're thinking
this
of.
This is wild.
If
I'm
you know
underwater.
The Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, it goes across the bay.
Miles from, of underwater.
From Virginia Beach area to the eastern shore of Virginia.
Headed towards
and
D.C.
And it cuts across the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. And it is part bridge, part tunnel, off and on for... I think 25, 30
a
miles.
A long time.
And you are sometimes on a bridge, then you go under the water, and that's how ships can pass over the sections that are tunnel sections to go through, so they didn't have to build too tall of a bridge. The thing moves with the wind because of how it's engineered. It's one of the more terrifying things you can go on. But I hope that our $2.2 trillion are looking at the structural integrity of that bridge today.
It's wild to go on it. But you've also never really questioned it.
Right.
I've never been like, before I do this, is there any other way around? No. because you actually have some trust in your transportation department that you're going to be safe, even if it feels kind of ridiculous. I feel horrible for the victims of this. I don't want to take anything away from this. Multiple people, there are multiple casualties. It could have been a lot worse, if we're being honest. You don't want to take anything away from the people that were lost and their families. But also, if it had happened just a handful of hours later and not in the middle of the night, essentially, you could have had an extreme, extreme mass casualty event. And I'm very thankful that that did not happen. But it should be a wake-up call to a lot of people. We're going to be taking your phone calls coming up. And we're also going to talk about what we can do at the ACLJ to, you know, put some pressure on them as well for that. And we're going to be going to Jeff Balaban in the next segment, who's going to be joining us from Israel live to discuss the current state of the war against Gaza and how the U.S. has kind of flip-flopped on Israel. We're going to discuss that and a lot more coming up. We are in those last few days. We have a holiday coming up. I think you all know that. We have Easter coming up, Good Friday on Friday. So usually we do a big lead up to our final day of the month. Now this is a little different. So we're saying, you know, we really only have a couple days here for this Life and Liberty Drive. And I think they did the math and they're like, when's the next time that one of these would happen? It's not for like another 28 years. So I think we're fine. But for now, this is where we're at. So instead of asking you at the end of the month and to disrupt your Easter plans and all of that and to try to do this last day, big fundraiser we usually do, we're going to ask you a little bit more frequently throughout this week. So right now I'm going to encourage you. This is it. Our Life and Liberty Drive deadline is just in 3 days, and you can still have your gift doubled at ACLJ.org. This couldn't come at a more critical time. We're right now at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva today. Cece Hiles there. You're going to see it later on in this broadcast. Right. We have the footage delivering an oral intervention for a Christian, Shahzad, who is on death row because of his faith. We have Pastor John Saul, who was just released from prison, wrongful imprisonment in China after we fought for him for years. But we are doing our fight now to get him still back home to his family. He's not in prison anymore, but still getting him home is a whole nother mess that we have incredible minds at. We're continuing our fight against the Biden administration's abandonment of Israel. We're going to talk about that in the next segment with Jeff Balaban. Because of the pro-Hamas UNRWA funding that we're still being a part of, we're demanding that that be changed. And, I got to take a deep breath there. We're also filing an amicus brief in just days to defend the integrity of the judicial system in the Fannie Willis case. You've heard us talk about that over and over. Right now, have your tax-deductible gift doubled at ACLJ.org. We couldn't do any of these fights without your support, and we do them at no cost to our clients. And no paywalls for you to watch this show, to listen to this show, and create all the incredible content. And I want to have the best and brightest people on this. We can't do that without your support. Go to ACLJ.org to have your tax-deductible gifts doubled right now. We also are very close to our ACLJ champion stretch goal. We're going to talk about that in the next segment.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
Hi, this is Jay Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. This month, we're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack from within, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled. dollar for dollar through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive and help us fight to literally save lives. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.
Secular. We'll be taking your calls, by the way, and so stay on hold. If you are on hold right now, we'll get to you a bit later in the show, or you can call in at 1-800-684-3110. We are joined by Jeff Balaban, live from Israel. Will, and there has been some updates. We wanted to get some reaction from Jeff.
That's right, and Jeff, you and I had been talking yesterday as you were back en route to Israel about the situation that unfolded at the UN Security Council. And this is where the United States took a new move there, and they kind of called back to the Obama playbook of allowing something to pass that damages Israel by just saying, we're here, but we're not going to vote. What's your readout on the abstention vote from the United States yesterday that allowed a ceasefire resolution to pass the UN Security Council?
Well, you know what they say, silence is deemed consent. And the fact that the United States abstained as the UN handed this unbelievable victory to Hamas, to its Iranian backers, to those who wished death and destruction on Israel, on the Jews, on America, just tells you exactly what an evil turn this has taken. And I could tell you, from the moment I arrived here in Israel, that's been the conversation, ranging from shock and dismay to fury and anger at this betrayal by the Biden administration of the Jewish people and the state of Israel.
And I want to get your take on this, because this is I'm going to read you what Admiral Kirby said as they try to spin that they were not supporting this measure because they abstained. And then I kind of want to push back on this, because that's what we do at the ACLJ. We point out the hypocrisy or the anti-Semitism, or any other manner of anti-Israel action that goes on with this government. But Admiral Kirby said, because the final text does not have key language we view as essential, notably a condemnation of Hamas, we could not support it. So he's going out on television at a press conference saying we could not support it. But as you said, silence is consent in this manner. What's your response to Admiral Kirby?
We know that there have been other administrations, and not just Republican administrations. There were some spectacular administrations at the UN who had our ambassadors to the UN who represented America as a light to the nation, as a light to the world, as opposed to just adding to the darkness, which is what's happened here, to turning our lights out. No, the truth is that this was a statement of pure evil. This is a statement that evil wins, that it's okay to launch a massive, not just terror attack, but it's a war on an innocent nation against innocent men, women, and children, and that the world will back you because the U.S. is in the hands of a feckless administration that, as we all know, because what I find fascinating is that the media reports this widely and nobody even seems to understand, no one contradicts it, understands the morality that's implied here, which is that everyone talks about the, quote, two-state solution, Michigan and Minnesota, because obviously the Democrats want to keep those two states, which are important swing states, which have heavy anti-Israel, anti-Semitic Muslim communities and voters. Not to say that all Muslim communities and voters are anti-Semitic, but the ones in Michigan and Minnesota certainly are. And it's clear that for this domestic concern, they're throwing Israel under the bus. Let me tell you, America should not be following. America should be leading. They should be down there remonstrating against the evil of this idea of calling for a ceasefire, which is to say Hamas wins, terror wins. But, you know, it's completely consistent with what this administration has done since the beginning, which used this horrible attack on Jewish civilians, on Israeli innocents, to call for the creation of a Palestinian state. And now they're strengthening Hamas, which has always been the dominant force in Palestinian control and power. They're strengthening Hamas as the leadership, ensuring that if Hamas survives, which they're trying to keep, which America seems to be trying to keep happening, then they will be in control. This is nothing but other than an absolute disaster.
Jeff, I just was curious, from a humanitarian point of view even, I think we're seeing so much, and on the media when they're covering Israel, we're seeing Gaza, we're seeing destruction, we're seeing all the kind of chaos that surrounds it. What is the life during wartime in Israel? I just want to know, what's the feeling, the emotion on the streets at this point. We are months into this. It's not like, you know, the days where every business is shut down and they're trying to figure out what to do. We're now 6 months into this. Plus at this point, what does it feel like to be there? I've only been there during, you know, obviously there's always times of struggle in Israel. There's always times of you got to always be safe and be aware, but you can not put your guard down, but it doesn't feel like an unsafe place to be just walking around. Obviously, we know the anti-Israel sentiment that's happening even in our college campuses here. In Vanderbilt here, we had an issue yesterday. Mm-hmm. But what about there on the ground? Because we're not seeing regular Israeli life by any means being portrayed in the media.
It's a great question, Logan. And it's very difficult to answer unless someone's actually here, because on the one hand, everything has changed. Nothing is normal. There's not a family here that hasn't lost somebody close to them. There's not a family here or who hasn't had someone serve for months in horrific danger and therefore is agonizing every moment of the day about their father, their mother, their brother, their sister, their child, their parent. It's an ongoing trauma. The trauma of the hostages is an ongoing trauma. It's a very small nation. It's a nation that feels much more like a family. And so there is trauma, and yet life does go on. And part of the problem is that the people in this country have learned how to live with a certain level of violence and terror. And yet, what's extraordinary is, and I wonder what will happen this year, you know, every year, year after year, they do a poll internationally. I forget under whose auspices, of the happiest countries in the world. Israel is always in the top 10. Both the Jews and the Arabs here are always in the top 10 of happiness. You know, happiness is not related to your danger. It's not related to your physical comfort. Happiness is related, I believe, to being a sense of living a life that's connected to what you're supposed to be doing. And I think everyone who lives here recognizes that it's important. The Jews have come back to our homeland, and it's important to just to exist and forge ahead.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you hopping on today live from Israel, you know, running our office in Israel, the ACLJ Jerusalem. We couldn't be more proud to have that set up there, and hopefully that expands and grows as the support continues from a lot of people here. You know, you'll see the press, and you'll feel like everyone in America is now on one side of this issue. We all know that it's a very divided country, and sadly, this has become one of those topics that felt like it didn't used to be divided, but now you're seeing a coalition of folks that maybe you never thought would in support of Israel, and then, of course, those who are against it. We appreciate you, Jeff, for coming on. I did want to tell you as we head into the next segment, we are going to hear, Will, in the next segment from Cece Heil, who is currently supporting Israel at the UN.
And this morning, for us, because it's evening, obviously, in Geneva, she delivered an oral intervention in defense of Israel. So our team has the courage to go to Geneva in the hostile environment that is the United Nations and deliver a message, an oral intervention in defense of Israel. And you're going to hear that. And tomorrow we'll play a defense that she gave in an appeal, really, to the Human Rights Council regarding our client Shahzad, yep, who is in Pakistan. That one hasn't happened yet, our time. So we'll have it hopefully tomorrow. Sure. Everyone.
Stay on hold. If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Also, if you're just joining us right now on YouTube or Rumble, you saw the headline about the calls for resignation of Pete Buttigieg after that bridge disaster. We'll reset and talk about that as well. We talked about that a little earlier in the broadcast. I know some people are like, you guys are talking about Israel. I clicked on it for this. Well, we led with that. We'll come back to it, so stay tuned. I appreciate all of you joining us. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to ask you to hit that thumbs up and subscribe if you haven't already. Makes my social media team happy when I say that. So go ahead and do that and give us a comment. Into the Life and Liberty Drive this week. You've heard me say it already. I just need you to do one simple thing. Go to ACLJ.org. Give a donation, single donation, or become an ACLJ champion, which is a monthly recurring donor. Do that right now. All donations are doubled. We'll be back in less than a minute.
You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.